and thank you for choosing this presentation. There is no need to explain what's the main reason why farmers are interested in variable rate planting. Seed prices are extremely high. Farmers spend about $50 per acre for paying for seeds, at least. We have a good technology. Modern planters allowed us to plant different rates within fields. And plus, industry is working on different site-specific recommendations when and where and what rates to vary planting rates. So the objective of this on-farm studies in Iowa was not to estimate the economic optimal planting rates for soybean, but was to identify the risk or benefit where and when farmer can increase planting rates by special increment, like 76,000 seeds per acre at the near optimal range. And then if we can do this, if we quantify this risk or benefit, we can develop a decision system which can help farmers make site-specific decisions. So in this on-farm trials, there's 27 trials in 2009, 31 trials in 2010. What we suggested growers to use, they would use the normal planting rate for soybean. They would decrease the planting rates by 38,000, one rate, and plus 30,000 the second. So the average two planting rates were 3,030 and 4,006 seeds per hectare, two planting rates. In these trials, at least four three replication within the field, shown here on this image. And then we look at the spatial variability in yield response and the field level. So we aggregated yield data from yield monitors. We aggregated yield data and estimated yield differences in grids. And these are grids approximately 35 meters along this strip. So we have both spatial data and field level observation. The problem here, we have a different data at different level. In order to quantify this effect, we utilize so-called hierarchical modeling. The idea of this modeling that all effects are random, so we have a distribution for yield differences at each field, and each distribution has a different parameters. And then we look at the different model, or different level, which is random model, for the parameter for this different distribution for each field. So we have so-called hierarchies. We have a regional model, field level model, and so on. Of course, it's not easy to estimate the parameter of this distribution, so we use so-called Bayesian analysis. And the idea of Bayesian analysis, before we look at the data, we have to make some kind of prior assumption or prior information knowledge. And then using this prior, before we look at the data, we can estimate so-called conditional posterior probabilities. I know this complex formula, but what it says that given the data we got from farmers, we estimate this conditional probability of yield response to this higher population rate. But the most important, useful part of this Bayesian analysis is that we can estimate so-called predictive posterior probabilities. Bayesian analysis, it's an important part of decision theory, which economists and statisticians started to use. And what we can do, we can take the data, given the data, we can make intelligent prediction for new situation or future situation given the data. So again, this is probably a horrific formula, but what I want to show you that with modern computing power, especially with faster computing, we can apply different types of stochastic simulation, like this Monte Carlo Markov chain simulation, and we can approximate this distribution or get parameter for this distribution relatively quickly, in mean two, and so on. So this is the basic idea. But the important part that we can make intelligent prediction for a new situation or an observed situation given the data from farmers in hand. Then we look at different covariate factors, field level, planting date, rainfall, all kind of factors we can get from these trials. within field spatial data, LIDAR, slope, all kind of stuff we could develop from this data available from farmers and from publicly available sources. By doing this type of analysis, first we look at the regional model, so-called regional baseline model. So based on this posterior predictive distribution, for data 2009, the yield response to the higher planting rate was about 40 kilograms per hectare, which is slightly less than break-even. If you look at the two categories of trial, one is the trials which were planted before May 20, and the other category which trials were planted after May 20, you can see the differences in these yield responses for these two categories. One was profitable, one was not. And if you look at this posterior or credible interval, sorry for this language statistician use, there was a clear difference between these two categories. Another important part for this analysis, we can look at this variability. So this is variability among trials, and variability within trials was about 3 times larger than variability within trials, which indicates that, yes, yield response is variable, but we need to classify or explain to some extent this variability. So what the core of this analysis is to make this posterior prediction for new situation. So this is the example for 2009 data. This is a cumulative distribution function. I mentioned that all effects are random. This is fields predicted after May 20, before May 20, and you can notice that after May 20, the yield response is much larger. These two curves don't intersect, which means there is truly difference between these two categories. But the important part, we can use this economic threshold, which is about 60 kilo per hectare or maybe one bushel, depending on prices. If your price goes up, you can move this line left and right. And what we see here, we can look at the probability of economic yield response, a response which is higher than break-even. In this case, for the before May 20, the probability of economic yield response was about 30%, while probability of economic response after May 20 was about 60%. So again, twice as likely to have economic yield response if farmers planted later and added extra seeds. So this is the basic of this analysis. And we can do this for many, many categories based on the field level and spatial data. So when we do this, we try to develop so-called decision tree metrics. So what it means, again, these are posterior prediction for new situation based on data 2009. So for the regional model, about 40% chance that you would get a profitable yield response for the extra seeds, soybean seeds. And then we would classify these responses based on the row width. Wide rows looks like twice as likely to be profitable than narrow rows. We can go more. We can look again for the timing of the date, planting date. We can look at some other factors. Like in this case, based on this data, there was some differences between sand content. So fields which had a slightly higher sand content, lighter soil, were twice as likely to have economic yield response to the extra seeds than those which had less. So again, this is an example how we can use this predictive distribution probability and develop a decision tree, which can help make some decision based on these simple trials with two seeding rates. What we do next, we also do scouting. We have agronomists or interns and going out and counting population density. And this is one of the reports from 2010. So we have a two rates, low rate blue, high rate red, and you can see that at least in this trial, what farmers planted, it was reflected in population densities. The previous studies in Iowa done by Paolo Pedersen and his students show that if the final population density around 1,000 seeds per acre, it could be optimal range. So if you look at the all planted, what farmer planted, and this is two rates, high rate, low rate, and relate to population density, what farmer, what we counted in fields, definitely the final stand by the end of the summer or early August was about 16% less. There was no difference in slope for both low or high rate, and also there was no much difference between wide row spacing or narrow row spacing, which is kind of surprising. So what this is the range which farmers planted across of this field. So again, we can use this information too and use as a covariate in our analysis as well. For the 2010 data, unfortunately, we didn't find any effect of spatial variability. But again, as well as 2010, the planting date was one of the significant factors. The fields which were planted after May 20 in Iowa had a higher chance to be responsive for the higher rate. Like in this case, about 45% versus before May 20, about 55% after May 20. So again, it tells that the planting date has some effect, which and farmer can make some adjustment for this effect. So finally, using this type of analysis, we can focus both on spatial variability and variability at the field level. And unfortunately, we didn't find a lot of or significant effect which will give us a confidence in making prediction from the space. But it's true that based on this data, farmers in Iowa should not increase soybean planting rates by any means if they don't have an idea before the hand. We found that field that planted after May 20 responded almost twice as likely that field that planted before, and there was a difference between wide row spacing and narrow row spacing. So the idea which we communicate to farmers that instead of focusing on management zones, we would like to stress the importance to have a so-called site-specific management categories. And the advantage of these categories is that we can focus both on spatial variability and variability across the field, because we believe that in most of these cases, variability across the field could be much more important than variability within the field. And finally, although we couldn't, the objective of these trials was not to estimate economical optimal rate or any means specific rates, we can get very useful information, and using this type of analysis, develop this decision tree which can help farmers make some decisions when and where and at what risk to increase or decrease population rate in soybean. Thank you.
One question?
Peter, your decision rules for the end members for your classification, do they come, those rules come from out of the analysis, say the May 20th decision rule, or do you define that?
No, it's after we observe, after we have a data. It's after the time. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks.